Well, good evening, everyone. It is 7:02. I am Joy Fields. I am staff to the Historic Review Board. The chair is unable to join us tonight. And so I am calling this special meeting of the Historic Review Board to order on December 15th, 2022 at 7:03 p.m. In attendance with us, we have Michael Schmier, Paul Edgar, Howard Post, and Martha. And so we do have a quorum of Historic Review Board members tonight. Martha is joining us by phone. So Martha will be remain unmuted. So please accept that there might be some noise coming, but I want to make sure that Martha can join us in the conversation. And so bear with us as we deal with this remote work. So tonight is a special meeting, and it is to consider the removal or demolition of the Karras School, otherwise known as the White Building. And it is a public hearing for Z0523-22. That is the land use file number. We are holding this public hearing virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing include the Historic Review Board members that I introduced a moment ago, as well as representatives from the applicant. And they include Emil, Denise, and Shayna at the moment. There may be others joining us. We started the public hearing last week with a staff presentation. Today's hearing is being recorded to be posted to the county's website later, most likely tomorrow or next week, because of staff not working on Fridays. It may not get up there until next week. Last meeting, we did not officially start a public hearing, and we did not officially close a public hearing. So I want to make sure that we follow all of the steps tonight. Am I remembering incorrectly, Paul, Michael, or Howard? Did we begin the public hearing and close the public hearing? Oh, Shane is saying we did. Okay.
I don't want to check that with other people. Yeah, I believe we kind of opened and closed it, but it was continued.
Okay. So we did not mention anything about testimony. And so if I remember correctly, and apparently I didn't remember correctly, so bear with me. But I do want to ask the Historic Review Board members who are here tonight if they wanted me to go over a quick version of my PowerPoint and allow testimony, or if you wanted to use the presentation from last week.
My biggest question is, did Martha get a chance to listen through the full text of what occurred in the previous meeting a week ago?
Martha, did you hear Paul's question? Were you able to?
Whatever's best for the rest of them.
Were you able to listen to the recording of last week's meeting?
No.
Okay.
Well, under those circumstances, I think we really need to take a refresher course.
I concur. We're going to be voting on this, and if Martha isn't apprised of all the ins and outs, she needs to be.
Okay. Well, then I will start the public hearing with a staff presentation of the staff report for the Historic Review Board members. And I will do this electronically, and I will share my screen. Martha, you can listen to my voice. If you are unable to see the computer screen. So tonight's hearing is for a relocation or demolition of a certified historic landmark. It is located at 14412 South Karis Road in Oregon City, and it is known as the Karis School. The Karis School is a 1926 historic schoolhouse that was locally referred to as the White Building, and it is located adjacent to Karis Elementary School. The school district is in the process of selling the building for $1. They began that process last year, and they have a contract with a buyer who is in the process of getting everything in order to move the White Building. However, the school district is applying for a demolition permit as an alternative in case moving the White Building or Karis School to a new location is unsuccessful. The school is pursuing these two options concurrently to ensure that the school district can move forward with the land use planning process and do improvements to the school traffic flow and visitor traffic flow so during the summer when school is not in session. So the underlying zoning district of the property where the Karis School is located is zoned rural residential farm and forest, 5 acres. It does have a historic landmark overlay. In the land use file for the historic landmark overlay, it identifies 0.78 acres of the 4.75 acre property as the area to be designated as a historic landmark. And so it only covers that area where the White Building is and the property directly adjacent to the White Building, otherwise known as the Karis School. During a survey of Clackamas County, the Karis School was found to be one of 27 schools in Clackamas County from the Motor Age. So the orientation and design was different than previous stages of historic historic structural development. In the early 19th century, schools incorporated design elements of the craftsman style. And in the landmark designation, it identifies that the Karis School has projecting gable porch, gable roof, and purlines and brackets, most closely resembling a craftsman bungalow dwelling. And when it was designated as a... Yes, Martha?
No.
Hello.
Hello. I'm listening.
Okay.
Good.
I heard you, and so I wasn't sure if you needed me to pause for a minute.
No.
Okay. The property where the Karis School is located has gone through multiple land use decisions over the years, including the original conditional use approval of the property to be used as a school. Outside of the historic structure, in 1974, it was developed with Karis Elementary School. For the public hearing of the removal or demolition of this Karis School, 19 property owners were notified. In addition, the county did a media release and issued it through our Public and Government Affairs office, and it was issued in the Canby Herald as well as other places. We did have comments from the public. The architect that is working with the contract buyer for the school contacted us and made sure that we knew that they are working diligently to try to move the historic structure to a new location. And they have plans set up, architectural plans, to identify how the school, the historic structure, is going to be split into three pieces and supported while it is being moved to a new location. We also heard from someone who provided written testimony about how the school is super important to the community, and additional efforts need to be made to have it stay part of the community. We heard how the ADA concerns and the earthquake protection, building code protections, can be overcome and should be overcome so that the historic structure can remain an integral part of the community. That is what we heard in the comments received prior to the public hearing last week. The school district provided a preservation plan that included a copy of the advertisements that they had in media publications last year in October, advertising the sale of the Karras School and the White Building. They provided a copy of the sign that they posted on the site to advertise the sale of the White Building.
Can I interrupt right here?
Yes.
Was there any advertising around it, what I'm saying, Molalla and the immediate area? Because Canby Herald is really very separate from all of these, most of the people that would be that are used to the school or hear about the school or stuff like that. I'm concerned about getting a much greater area of exposure to what it was proposed.
The school district advertised in the Pamplin media group the media release that the county provided. I got a copy of the Canby Herald one, but it also went out through social media. And so there, I don't know what other publications are out there, truthfully, Paul. And so I relied on the expertise of the Public and Government Affairs Office of Clackamas County for the media release. And the school district advertised in a publication specific for historic structures, it's called Circa, as well as the Pamplin Media Group. So the Historic Review Board has the review authority of reviewing plans to remove or demolish a historic structure. And the zoning and development ordinance requires a public hearing to be held. And it instructs the Historic Review Board to consider the comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan has a section on historic sites that supports the preservation of historic sites, while also realizing that there are times where there's conflicts between the historic resources and the and safety, as well as economics. And I think the Karras School is an example where safety and economics are conflicting with the historic resource. Safety in regards to ADA compliance and safety requirements that schools have for public structures. And economics, because the school has a bond to do improvements to the parking and circulation. And as time goes on, construction costs increase. And so there's this push and pull between the need to preserve a historic resource and the other things that are taking place on the site. The purpose of Section 707 of the Zoning Development Ordinance is another piece that the Historic Review Board is supposed to consider. And it's to implement the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan related to historic landmarks, to promote the public health, safety, and general welfare by safeguarding the county's heritage as embodied and reflected in its historic resources, to provide for the identification, protection, enhancement, and use of sites, structures, corridors, objects, and buildings within the county that reflect special elements of the county's architectural, archaeological, artistic, cultural, engineering, aesthetic, historical, political, social, and other heritage. Additionally, the purpose is to facilitate the restoration and upkeep of historic buildings, encourage public knowledge, foster community and neighborhood pride, and promote the enjoyment and use of historic and cultural resources. Additionally, 707 is to preserve diverse architectural styles reflecting phases of the county's history. And as we heard, this is one of the schools that reflects one of the periods of the county's history. It's also to enhance property values and increase economic and financial benefits to the county and its inhabitants. The purpose is to identify and resolve conflicts between the preservation of cultural resources and alternative land uses, such as an elementary school. The purpose is to integrate the management of cultural resources and relevant data into public and private land management and development processes. That is why we are here tonight, because we are integrating the review of a removal or demolition of a historic structure into the larger development process for the site. The applicant provided evidence in their application that the demolition of the White Building or the Karras School promotes 707.01B because it promotes public safety and general welfare by allowing for an improved traffic flow at South Karras Road, where it intersects with Cascade Highway. One of the things that we are supposed to consider as during the review of this application is the original criteria for the designation of the structure as a historic resource. And as I noted, the quality of the design was noted to be rarely found in non-residential buildings. And so in the designation of the structure as a historic landmark, the quality of the craftsmanship and the design was highlighted. This structure is not part of a historic district or a historic corridor. And so there are items of the code that do not apply to this structure. We are supposed to consider whether suspension of the proposed demolition will involve substantial hardship to the applicant. The applicant provided last week evidence that construction costs are increasing and that a delay in the removal of the structure from the site will cost them significant hardship. From a process perspective as well as a financial one. Sorry. And the last thing to consider is whether the approval of the request would act to the substantial detriment of public welfare and would be contrary to the intent and purpose of Section 707 of the Zoning Development Ordinance. One of the items that was discussed last week was the fact that the Historic Review Board may suspend an application if they believe that there is a chance that there could be a successful program or project that could either preserve the structure on the site or successfully move it. The historic or the school district has sold the building, and the buyer is working to move it. But the Historic Review Board heard a lot of testimony last week about how there are other things that could be done to the existing structure that could preserve it for the community. So this slide was modified slightly so that you could see that the applicant may, or the application may be suspended if the Historic Review Board would like to research programs and projects which could result in the public or private acquisition of the subject building and be successful in moving it. If you thought that that would be successful, you can extend the suspension period of the application 30 additional days per extension. But you can't do it beyond 120 days from the date of the decision suspending the application. So in total, you can suspend the application for 30-day increments, not to exceed 120 days. Staff reviewed the zoning development ordinance, the comprehensive plan, the application materials, and they are suggesting a recommending the approval of the application. And with that, I will stop sharing my screen and conclude my presentation. At this time in public hearings, usually the applicant is able to provide any clarification or response to the staff report. I know that the applicant did that last week, but for the benefit of Martha, who has joined us tonight, if you don't mind providing a little bit of additional information, I think that would be beneficial.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, Joy, and thank you for the board. I'm Denise Lapp. I'm the Director of Finance for the district. I know last week also we had Peter that helped present. However, he's unable to attend. He already had a prearranged trip out of the country. So it'll be myself or Shana or Emil that can help field some of those other questions. So I'll try and make sure that I review any of the information I presented last week for you, Martha, along with just some of the questions that came up, so I have some additional information to share with the board tonight. Just as a reminder, the district has not had any functional use in this building since 2008. We have engaged in multiple conversations about how the community's value of that building and the historic preservation of that versus also looking at the safety and security for our students, our staff, and for any parents or other community members that come to that site. We have reviewed different options for relocating that building on district property and reusing it. And we've determined as a district that neither of these are cost-effective options for the district. As I mentioned last week, we need to be fiscally sound in our finances. We have limited resources, and we need to use those to provide the best educational opportunities for all of our students. Also, when we went out for this bond in 2020, That was never part of the bond program, as far as we did not have monies within our bond or our bond promise to relocate that building, to restore it, or to do anything else. We were looking at things that were improving the warmth, the safety, and the security of our current buildings where students are housed. So in the absence of having any bond dollars allocated towards that, we do not have general fund dollars that we could help or be utilizing towards the restoration or relocation of that building. As we've mentioned, and Joy has also spoke about, and I said, one of our current bond promises is to have safe schools. And part of that is the circulation, trying to improve the circulation on that property. We talked about how on Karras Road, when parents come to pick up students, you see long lines of cars on that road waiting to get into the parking lot to get their students. I did actually review the plan, the recirculation plan, with our principal last week after our meeting. And that plan would net the district around 20 additional parking spots. And what he said they do as a school community is they ask some parents to go and park their car, walk up to the building and get their students, or others might be lined up along there. And he felt by adding those additional parking spots, you could actually probably get almost all, if not all, the cars off of the road, which would be a great improvement for the safety. And also he said he hears lots of complaints from the neighbors in that area whose driveways are blocked during that time of the day when school is in session. I do have the opportunity to speak both to our buyer and to the architect, Mr. Eisland, who had provided some comments last week. I just want to let Martha know that the advertising that we did in both the Pamplin Media and the Circa, we also had signs on the building from October, and we did not actually take those down until April. So that was longer than it was required. I had 33 different people inquire about that building. At that point in time in the spring, we could have actually brought this to the board for a hearing. We chose to pause on that because we knew at that point in time that for a potential buyer, they would not be able to secure all the architectural plans and work, obtain the permits, and also arrange for a mover to get that off of our property by summer of 2022. So the district and our bond management team made a decision to pause on that piece of the work for the bond project. So on the east side of that building, we didn't do anything with the exception of taking the pump house that was in that building and relocating it to the north side of the school facilities. So that the wellhead is still there and will have to remain as part of that plan. However, we were able to relocate the pump house that summer, or last summer. As Joy had mentioned, postponing, it is going to cost us more money this coming summer. We know prices keep going up. Last summer, we already had demolition crews out there doing some work on the back part where we installed a new playground and did some access work to the back of the building. So we're going to have to call back out a general contractor or someone to do that work this summer, where it would have been more cost effective for us to do it all last summer. But we chose to pause in order to try and get a buyer lined up so that we can preserve this building. What other notes were? In speaking with the potential buyer, the architectural plans and also Mr. Eisland are at a point where they can be submitted to the moving company. With that information, they would look at the plans, what that looks like, and also work on scheduling that work to occur over spring break. I've also spoke to both the buyer and to Mr. Eisland that the district is willing to work with that buyer. It's a short window of time over spring break, but if they need to come in and do preparation work ahead of time, the district is more than willing to help fence off that area so they could come in and get that prepped. We can't have cranes and big equipment in there doing work when, you know, trying to move it when students and parents are in session. But if we can get some of that other pre-work done ahead of time, we will be gladly working with them to do that piece of it. So just in my conversations with both of those individuals last week and this week, I'm just very excited. I feel like this sale and move is going through, and the buyer is very excited about getting this property or this building moved onto her property. So fingers crossed, everything should go through as planned, and we can keep this building as is. So thank you. Shayna.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, I'm Shayna Reberg. I'm with a company called MIG APG. We're land use planners. So we are not historic preservation architects like Peter Meijer, architects who was attending the meeting last week. But I did want to just kind of borrow from some of his comments, just in terms of the process that has been gone through with the State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO. And Joey already mentioned the preservation plan that was included as part of our application to the county. That's also reflective of state requirements. And then there's also been a memorandum of agreement reached and signed between the district and the State Historic Preservation Office in the case of demolition, which of course is not what we're aiming for here, but we do need to cover all our bases. And so the State Historic Preservation Office has been involved in considering that possibility and basically kind of signing off on what the district would need to do in that case. So I hope I relayed that somewhat accurately.
I have a question. What does the person that's wanting to buy it, what is she going to do with it?
Last, prior to the meeting last week, testimony from the architect was submitted electronically, and they don't have an identified end use for that structure yet, but they understand that they will need to identify what that use is and come before the Historic Review Board for the Historic Review Board to review what happens to the structure once it's on their property.
That seems to be a little backward.
And I believe there is already historic zoning on that property on Maxburg.
That is my understanding from the buyer, yes. And I think I had heard before, Martha, that she had considered possibly, you know, turn it into a bed and breakfast or some type of community center or event center. But she has not determined, or when I spoke to her, she has not determined that yet.
Okay.
So in a normal public hearing, we would open it up for testimony.
Howard had a question.
Howard.
Yeah, I'm questioning, are we ever going to get a chance to talk to Todd about what they are going to do? I mean, where we're really at, other than a bunch of vague assertions of what might happen or might not happen? I mean, kind of tie this down a little closer. Either they're going to move it or they're going to demolish it, one of the two. So, you know, we kind of like to know a little more of what's happening with it. And number two, for Denise, you know, they've done 14 years of no maintenance, is like kind of let it run down, and they really want to get a parking lot out of it and don't really care much about the building.
Well, I think we do care about the building. That's why we've extended our time to try and sell it to a potential buyer as long as we can. So that's why I said I'm excited that this individual is willing to spend the money and the efforts to get that moved. And I just actually spoke to Todd yesterday on the phone. And he said he's, you know, 80 to 85% done with those plans, and that he feels that he feels confident that money is that hasn't swayed her from moving forward. They just have a few details to work out on some final things within that building. And then, you know, like I said, they're getting that to the mover to get the date firmed up and proceed with scheduling that for her.
Are the dates going to come within this timeline? I mean, everything's still kind of vague.
They are. The mover just needed to have the actual plans, and then they can work with PGE and anyone else along the route to schedule those dates to move the building down the road, down to 213.
I just want to address the date thing. The dates aren't necessarily vague. We've been planning this move with the buyer to happen over spring break. That's March 27th through April 1st. I don't know what the end date of the spring break is, but that's what we're getting at. And I apologize again. I tried to address this last week. We're not trying to be vague. There are unforeseen things that could happen, Howard, in the process of this buyer coming up with the plan to move it. Should the movers determine that the route can't occur? But we're down to the nitty-gritty details of this move process. She spent a lot of money already on architectural fees. They're building a foundation, I believe, at the site to take the building. I mean, this is a commitment to move it. We're just trying to protect ourselves from should something happen between now and then, knowing that this was kind of our, well, I shouldn't say I knew this, but with the dates and the timing of coming before you, this December, January period was about as long as we could wait in order for us to be able to proceed next summer. So we apologize that we couldn't have already moved the building, but, I think you would have had to have agreed to that anyways for us to be able to move it. So, or for the movers to be able to move it. So I don't know if that helps you. We're not trying to be vague. It's they just literally haven't like told us the exact day, whether it's March 27th or like Denise was saying, we're going to give them more time to take it apart. They really just haven't provided to us a schedule. Do they need a week to cut it into those three pieces, or does that take a month? What does the bracing look like in that time frame? How big of a crane do they need to bring? And then the final details for them are figuring out with the utility companies along the route. There's coordination for the cables that have to be taken down to make the move work. So that's why there's just a few last moving pieces that we're not going to know maybe for another month, let's say.
Are they going to try to move it one piece or?
No, three. It's already been determined. That's what the architect's already gone out there, researched it. She's met with the crew to cut it into pieces. The architect has designed what to do. They've designed a foundation for it to sit on. The commitment from the buyer is definitely solid and there. It's they're just. I worry about what happens if they cut it into three pieces and the two halves fall over, right? Well, I don't want to say that, but like my concern with that was we tried to do everything with you guys, you know what I mean, with the historical review board, but then it just ends up demolished by no fault of anyone other than it's a, 120 something years old? I don't even know. It's pretty old. So.
Well, it'd be 97 if it was built in 206, or 95. Anyway, it's old building.
They put up temporary walls at the points where they cut the building just to support the roof and ceiling and whatnot, and that'll support it for the move. So it's not going to collapse.
Michael, I saw your hand go up first.
Thank you. I'll take my hand down so I don't forget. Is there a deadline to the purchaser in the purchase agreement? Is it stated? I've heard you say spring break, but is there a fixed deadline that you've agreed to with the buyer? Denise, you're muted.
Sorry about that. So spring break is, I think students are back in the building on April 2nd. So that would be when it would need to be removed because other than that, we couldn't do our summer work. However, we've also informed the buyer that 2 days prior to spring break, there's conferences, and then that Friday prior is no school. So they actually have closer to 10 days in order to get the building off the property. So that helps them out too. So we've told them by the end of spring break, which would be April 2nd, it would need to be removed.
So my question to you, Denise, is if everything went south and you were forced and you were given approval for demolition ahead of time, when would that demolition have to be done by?
So if we didn't do that in over spring break, then we would do that right at the beginning of the summer so that we could get the parking lot improvements done. I believe that would be correct, Emil.
And that's when?
That starts, just a second. I think it's like the third week in June.
Okay.
So there's really only, if you're looking at trying to remove a building off the property, you have spring break and you have the summer. The builders wouldn't touch moving this building over the winter break. We did talk to the buyer about that. It's just too wet to move it onto other property. So other times in the school, we don't have any break periods long enough that, without cranes and other big equipment on the property that would risk the safety of our staff and students at that time. So that's why we chose the spring break date. I don't think they had reached out last summer to see about the possibility of moving it in the summer, but the different moving companies were so backed up and so busy, no one would quote that work for them to do last summer. So
I would say, and speaking of, obviously Denise and I and other people would have to talk about it, but if they came up with a solid plan and due to like a ODOT reason with the power lines, they couldn't get all the permitting quite in place for spring break, but they could secure the building and start the work, as long as it was gone in that first week of the summer and arranged that way, then that would be at the same time we needed to demolish the building, and that would be acceptable to us as well. So if they weren't, if they still could move it, but they just needed that extra little bit of time in the spring, we wouldn't be like, sorry, you can't have it. We would still allow them to take it and do the same concessions that we would in March, in June, and have it go in that first week of June. But currently, they're just working towards a spring break deadline for us, just to be, the summer gets really tight with the schedule, and they currently don't seem to have an issue making the arrangements to move it over spring break. So that's why the goal of spring break was established, for a little background, but it could be the first week of the summer. That wouldn't be an issue for us if they needed that little bit of time.
How many miles do they have to move it? And is it fairly smooth to get it out of there, or are there very different things that they would have to do special activities from?
I've been told, Martha, it's approximately 6 miles. I haven't studied the route. I think the movers have. It's definitely feasible to move. The issue would be power lines. The height of the building will exceed ODOT regulations, meaning it could definitely get into obstructions along the way. And so utility companies need to come as they're going and remove those and the lines for safety. And I couldn't tell you how many times it crosses the road.
Martha, it's traveling. It would travel on 213 south towards Molino, and then property is on Maxburg Road. So one turn off of 213. So it's not like it has a lot of, side roads you're going cutting in and out of. It's a pretty straight path. So.
Paul?
Yes. I'm would love to see or listen to Todd Eisland As I look at this, and I think that there are contingencies, and if I were to try to put rate the contingencies of making everything come together by spring break, and then maybe even by early at the end of the school year, there's still contingencies there, and saving this building is more important. And I would have hoped that the school district would have understood the importance of saving historic landmark structures like this long before. As part of just community, and this is obviously listening to the earlier testimony from community people, that Martha's not yet heard. There was tremendous desire to come up with anything that they could do to save the building and reuse it appropriately. And there was a feeling like, at least I got the feeling from them, that that there was an ability to do that in the number of people that are attached to the school historically from the Karras area, and where their kids and families and everybody have been involved with it for a long, long time. And they all think that it's important as part of, as a cultural element of their neighborhood. And I just would love to hear more from Todd. I'd like to remove any contingencies, but because, and I would think that I would love to have at least a 30-day a suspension of this, maybe even 60 days to make sure that I, right now I'm not in favor of a demolition permit. To me, it's too important for us to come up with something. And I would even like to hear if these people can dot the I's and cross the T's and come to an agreement that's solid to move the building, that would be great. But if that can't happen in 60 days, where we're in agreement that it's going to be moved, then I would have loved to see what the rest of the community in and around Karras thinks, and a new effort to go out and say, okay, if you guys think that it's important, how do you want to come together to save it? It's got to come to a point where they can't just talk about it. They have to come up with a plan too, that doesn't have contingencies to it, where somebody's, you got to have an ability to make this happen. And I just think it's an extremely important building, and I would like a little bit more time and see the I's dotted, the T's crossed with the prospective buyer, the mover, and the people to make it happen. And I don't think that that's too much to ask for right now. And I would love to hear from Todd. Those of us that know him from Oregon City know and respect Todd, and I would love to hear from him as he is an authority and an architect. Thank you.
I would like to highlight one thing that Emil mentioned. The Historic Review Board has to approve a removal just as much as they have to approve a demolition. So tonight, you could potentially make a motion to approve the removal of the building to a new location, and potentially suspend the demolition piece of the application for your 60 days that you would like to have additional information. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't have to be both in one decision, because the Historic Review Board does have to consider a removal just as much as they would have to consider a demolition.
Make your motion. Michael?
You're on mute.
Michael?
There. My finger's sore or something. I don't know what. Anyway, Joy, I would like clarification on suspension. I've heard 30 days, 60 days, and maximum of 120 days. Please clarify how a suspension of any sort could look.
You would have to have a belief that a suspension could allow for programs and other items to be successful in preserving the structure. And the zoning code is not super clear. I did include the excerpt in the PowerPoint presentation, and I can read it again. I tell you what, I will go directly to the code and read it from the zoning and development ordinance so that we have it verbatim. So bear with me as I bring it up, and I can share it if you would like.
Thank you.
So the section of the zoning development ordinance that pertains to moving or demolishing is item D. And at the bottom of item D, after it talks about the preservation plan and what must be in there, after it talks about I'm getting tongue-tied. It talks about how you have the authority to review it as the Historic Review Board, and the application, item 5, says the application may be suspended if, in the interest of preserving historic values for public benefit, the building should not be moved or demolished. If the application is suspended, the written decision shall be transmitted to the building official along with the request for the enforcement of any applicable notice or order of the building official. So if the building is too derelict and decrepit and has a notice of no one can get in there because of safety, there would be an order from the building official to that. But a notice and order of the building official be stayed during the pendency of an appeal or for a period not more than 60 days from the date of the suspension decision. During the stay of moving or demolition, the following actions may be taken. The building official may require that the owner or other party responsible for the subject building to take appropriate actions other than demolition to protect the public from hazardous conditions associated with the building. The applicant may be required to continue to carry out the pre-application plan activities through the entire stay of moving or demolition. The Historic Review Board may research programs or projects underway which could result in public or private acquisition of the subject building and site and assess the potential for the success of these programs or projects.
That item C is very appropriate.
If the Historic Review Board determines there are reasonable grounds to believe that such programs or projects may be successful, it may extend the suspension period of up to 30 additional days per extension. So the original period of not more than 60 days can be extended up to 30 additional days per extension, as long as the total does not exceed 120 days from the date of the decision of suspending the application.
Okay.
Is that a little bit more clear?
Yep, I think that nails it.
Okay.
So, in effect, we could approve removal, but suspend demolition for that 30-day period with the option of extending that for another 30 days, up to 120 days total, which puts it into spring break by my math, or pretty damn close. You agree with that, Paul? You kind of see that?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having it for the not to exceed 60 days. Take that first line, just take 60 days, and I would find it then very difficult to go past that if there was another 30 days and it was justifiable. But that way we know that we're giving enough latitude to assess all abilities to make sure that the building is saved. That's, to me, the big thing is just the building should be saved, and we should be able to be assured that there aren't contingencies that are going to prevent the building from being saved.
Howard, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I go along the same way. I think, you know, we give a little more time, and maybe Todd can narrow it down, or the school board or somebody else to say either they're going to do it or they're not going to do it. Or like Paul said, the community can come in and do a Hail Mary, which I doubt. But, you know, that gives everybody a little more latitude to figure out where we're at.
Martha?
Yes.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just wondering how much the family and everybody in the area would get in and work and help do that so it could stay. Or if nobody wants to do anything except the people that are being hired to move it, then I would say goodbye.
Martha, you weren't present at the last discussion about that, but there were people that came forward and said they would dearly love to help out and offered their assistance, at least, you know, their emotional assistance. And anything else they could come up with. So I think we owe it to the community to give them that opportunity.
Martha, also, this is Paul Edgar. Martha, also, they alluded to the fact that they had quite a few people it sounded like, I don't know if Michael, if you agree or Howard, but I was thinking that it sounded like that they had 20 or 30 or 40 people that were attached to this building and were part of programming that had historically occurred at that building over the years and have this allegiance to it and are from that immediate area. And so does that sound right to you, Joy?
I wanted to say that Chris Ritter, who spoke last week, raised their hand. And I didn't know if you wanted to allow them to share with Martha what you are referring to.
I think that would be appropriate.
Okay.
Thank you, Review Board, for letting me speak. I know Martha might want to know how much a lot of people are willing to do to help preserve this building. I could read what I read last week. If she would like to hear that, it takes about 5 minutes. Martha, do you want to hear what I read last week as a community member?
Okay,
I'm going to read it then. Hello, Review Board family, friends, and neighbors. My name is Chris Ritter. I was a teacher at Kara School from 1974 to 2004, where I first fell in love with the old white building. I was married in 1974 to a family who had history here also. My husband's grandfather, Carl Schmeiser, was the contractor builder when the building was completed in 1926. His 5 children attended Kara School, one of whom is my mother-in-law, who is now 96 years old. My husband and I live in the Canby School District. Our 2 children graduated from Canby High School. We have much respect for the school district. In 1974, the white building was being used for the 6th grade students, housed the school library in the basement, and was used by administration when Kara School was District 29, not consolidated yet with Canby School District. It was fondly called the Crow's Nest. When the building was no longer used by we opened it for special events, reenactments with students of school days from the past, and even a haunted house at Halloween. In 2004 to 2017, I worked for George Fox University in the education department and substitute taught for Canby School District. I continued to love this building from more of a distance. The Kara students organized an event celebrating 125 years from 1885 to 2010, sharing its rich history from the first schoolhouse, a one-room log cabin, to the existing beautiful white building opened in 1927. The students continued to celebrate Kara's traditions that started in the white building, including the holiday sing-along, the 6th grade advancement ceremony, hard work, friendship, and academic achievement. The Kara School song, written by a music teacher in 1985 for the 100th anniversary, is still sung today. History is a rich part of Kara's culture. During this time, the Friends of the Old White Kara Schoolhouse was formed. This group had a shared interest in seeing the old Kara's White Building be restored to a condition that would honor this historic school building and allow the community to use it as a resource. The group investigated grants and other funding sources so as not to put a financial burden on the district. 2 architects visited the building, citing its grand design, condition, and potential. A 2014 Eislen Architects report concluded, quote, "This structure is in very good condition and exhibits a high degree of historic integrity in both the interior and exterior. The fact that the school district has sustained a base level of care and maintenance over the years that included repairing the roof, painting the building, repairing windows, and maintaining an operating HVAC system has clearly helped to preserve this resource. This building could continue to serve the Karras community in a variety of ways for years to come." The Friends of the Old White Karras Schoolhouse worked toward this goal from 2013 through 2015. The Canby High School advanced construction class did some initial work on the interior. Trip Goodall, the superintendent at the time, worked with our group, but by the end of the school year, our group felt the district was lacking interest. We presented the board with a letter explaining that we would temporarily take a leave of absence on the project until the district found a purpose and a commitment. We would reconvene when the district wanted to work on this project again with our help. In 2018, the Karras Preschool that was housed in the new building was being asked to find a new home due to Karras needing more classrooms to accommodate their ever-growing enrollment. The Karras Preschool asked if I could investigate the possibility of moving into the old building. I visited Clackamas County, where I met with planners who welcomed my questions, hoping too that this beautiful building would possibly once again have life. Richard Carlson, Plans Examiner, Building Codes Division, verified that there was no change of use, but it would need fire marshal approval. The fire marshal and I examined the building, leaving me with a list of needs. The preschool board had money in their savings and were willing to use it for these restorations and use parent manpower for things that did not need experts. They approached the board and were denied. October 11, 2021, surprise, the Karis White building is for sale. I live in the district and drive by often. I saw the for sale sign. So sad, but still hopeful that someone would buy it and move it, restoring it to the glory it deserves. August 2022, the for sale sign has been removed. I inquired to Canby School District contact person Denise Lapp, finance director, who informs me that, yes, there is a potential buyer who is working with a moving company to schedule the move. November 2022, I see notice of this meeting at the Historic Review Board whereby Canby School District is asking permission for demolition. I asked Denise Lapp if this is a backup plan in case the person who bought the building does not move it in the spring. She tells me yes. December 8, which was our meeting last week. If the sale does not go through as planned by the spring, I'm asking the Historic Review Board to not approve demolition. Canby School District, working with the reinstated Friends of the Old White Karis Schoolhouse, could move the building to another location on the Karis grounds to serve as a community space, daycare, or even a community art center. Trip Goodall, superintendent at the time, shared a similar plan with our group. Restoring it for a future use would make it sustainable and benefit the community, thereby saving a beautiful historic building. And since then, we've had a week, and I've heard from a lot of people in the community. One person said she approached the school board asking if she could rent it and fix it up to code and have it as a child care center, and they didn't allow her to do that either. But I think it could be a sustainable building. It could be moved. We could possibly work with people who might even do things as tax write-offs for giving to back to the community if given an opportunity. But we realize this building belongs to Canby School District, and they would have to invite us to try to do that. So I'm hoping that you will not allow it to be demolished and that we would be given a chance, given some kind of timeline that's reasonable, to get that all together with the people that have worked on it in the past. And so that's what I'm asking for. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, Joy, is Alvin Algram's letter something that Martha might want to hear too, or is that asking too much? The one you read that he submitted.
I provided an overview of that earlier, and it is public record. It is recorded in last week's recording. I feel like for the consideration of people's time, that
right.
I can share that with her in a different way.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Shana?
I wasn't quite sure if that like counted as kind of public testimony, and whether the applicant has a chance to also respond at this point.
You can respond to public testimony, yes.
So Denise or Emil, I don't know if there's anything that you want to respond with.
I think I just want to reiterate that we do want this building to be preserved, and we want to proceed with the sale that we have pending with this buyer. I feel very confident in talking to her and also Mr. Eisland that this deal is going through and that we will get that building moved. And as Emil stated, if for some reason we can't pull that off at spring break time, we'd be doing that in the summer. The district has looked at other options for that building. Again, it comes down to a financial burden on the district. And as Chris mentioned, the district has liability for anyone that comes in and does any work on a building. We can't just have different volunteers coming in and doing things. That puts the district at a huge liability. So we feel that the ability to move this building and keep it preserved is a great option, and that this buyer will utilize this and come to the historic board and get those preservations back on her property. So
I'd just like to add, and I know Denise has a longer history with the district than I do, only having been here for the last 4 years in my role. But when I started, Tripp was still the superintendent. And in our meetings, he would talk about uses like he had this dream of it being like a wedding center. He had hoped that somebody like a McMinimums would come and restore it and allow these different uses. I think as passionate as Chris is, and I love that about this building and her family connection to it is amazing. It's not that the district just let it sit for 14 years without considering other things. I appreciate and will respect your decision to extend this 60 or 90 days. They've spent 14 years looking at options. The end be all is that their general funds are limited. If I work with many school districts. It's hard for school districts to maintain the buildings that they actually use and keep students in, let alone historic buildings that have just been told to them by a board like this that you just have to keep and keep up. It gets tough. This bond, we're trying to replace as many roofs as we can afford to with the money that we were given by the taxpayers. So when I say that, I mean, we can't even make all of the necessary repairs with the money that we were given by the taxpayers for all of the buildings. And we are making those decisions based on those buildings' uses. To keep this building and maintain it, even if it became a rental property, it would still be the district's property to maintain. There would be issues of trying to get it to be accessible. As Chris stated, the fire codes are more stringent now than they were. Building codes are more stringent now than any last time these reviews were done. Moving it on the property, considered a major renovation, it would have to be brought up to today's codes. We researched all this. It is extraordinarily cost prohibitive for the building to try to find these outside uses. We would love to be able to, or I mean, it's kind of weird. I'm on the side where I'm being painted in this bad light. Normally I'm trying to help with all these sorts of things, just like you guys. And it was never our intent to just say, well, we're just going to knock it down. In fact, had that been our purpose, we would have just gone with the original 90 days you guys gave us for adding, not really tried to find anybody, come to you after those 90 days, waited our 120-day suspension, and knocked it down last year. This, as I referred to with Denise, I think we found basically a unicorn in this buyer who's willing to come in and at such expense move this building to their property. And we're so close. So if your decision tonight is to just approve the removal, I actually think that's probably okay, because probably what's about to happen. So sorry, I just wanted to say that. It just, they haven't done nothing. I talked to Denise at length about this. It's not just the school board said no twice. It's not, I don't think that's an accurate way to deplore it. So Paul, I appreciate you as well with your passion and want to keep trying to find uses for this building on site. If they were there, it would be happening, right?
Group of discussions, someone mentioned a motion. Are we at that point, or would you like to continue the discussion?
No motion has been formally made. There was the word motion came up, but we have not, and I am ready to move toward that.
Michael, I would like to hear what your thoughts are.
Well, I'd be happy to kind of summarize it quickly. I think that the school district is justified in requesting that the building be removed. And I have voiced before that I would hate to have to vote to have it demolished. And I'm not really ready to quite go to that extent yet, but I am prepared to support removal.
Okay. Then I would like to move that we support the removal of the building, but suspend demolition for a 60-day period where we can examine it and we can hear testimony from the architect giving us assurances that they can move it.
So to rephrase your motion just slightly, I think you're moving to approve that portion of this application for removal of the building, but suspend the demolition portion of this application for 60 days.
Yes.
I second that motion.
We have a motion on the table and a second. I am going to ask Martha, did you clearly hear the motion and the second? And would you like to share with me how you would like to vote?
I want to hear the other people first.
Okay. Howard?
I support the motion, aye.
Let's have a show of hands then. Martha, I vote yes. I vote yay. Where's my hand? I lost my hand.
And I vote yes too.
And Martha voiced that she supported it, did she not?
I'll vote yes.
Okay. Motion passed.
Unanimously.
Can we make a request to try to get Todd Eisland to see if he could come in January and give us an update?
When is your January meeting?
It is the second Tuesday of the month, and it is in the bylaws that it is the second Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m.
When did it go from Tuesday to Thursday?
Oh.
From Thursday to Tuesday.
Thank you, Martha, for catching me.
That's right.
8:20 p.m., and I've been working a very long time. Yes, we meet on Thursday. I apologize.
Second Thursdays, yes.
Excellent. There's a hand here.
And the hand is from Shana.
Thank you. I just wanted to also ask, since we, I think, potentially we're going to have the zone change that's contingent on this, potentially heard at the January 12th meeting as well, is there any reason that wouldn't still go forward? Or
I would think that it would be should be put off 60 days to correspond with the end of the suspension of this time, or the delay that we're asking for clarity. Does that change anything?
It'll change our land use and permitting, Paul, but it's okay. We'd rather work cooperatively with this board before we move on
for
our next decisions. So
then, Emil or Shana, I will need one of you to toll the clock for that application.
And I don't know that we've been formally deemed complete, but
you have not been deemed complete yet. But you provided the materials yesterday, and so or earlier this week. The completeness review has not been completed, but if you would be willing to toll the clock for 60 days, we can start reviewing it 60 days from tonight's decision to suspend the application.
Are you still going to deem our application complete at this point then? You're saying the 30-day completion period is up, but your review will begin in 60 days.
What I'm saying is you provided additional materials. I have not reviewed that yet.
And but we could be deemed complete.
So it's effectively incomplete right now. Status.
Incomplete status today.
Until it's been reviewed.
Correct. However, when it is deemed complete, if the applicants want to work with the Historic Review Board, wait until the 60-day period is done, then I will need the applicants to toll the clock.
Okay.
So.
I'm not smart enough to follow this, Troy, but as long as you're saying that in February at that board meeting, we'll be able to bring before this board we'll get the resolution on the demolitions. Hopefully we don't need it, but then we'll also be able to get the zone change.
And I will work with you offline about your other application.
Okay.
Because tonight's meeting was for Z0523-22. And so I don't want to muddy the waters. Okay. I will work with you on your other application. The second Thursday of January is January 12th.
Great. May I ask the board, besides Todd's testimony, and in that code seemed to read that you would be providing some sort of review of the property yourself during this time period, but what other materials may we be able to bring or present to you? What other evidence or programs? I'd love to be able to bring to you things that would help with answering your questions and making sure you know that we're doing our due diligence from our end during this period.
I would love to have the lady that's given testimony tonight to be also talking with Todd and making sure that the community is in agreement with what's coming, what is being proposed. I think this is a community asset that's there and I don't want to see, I don't think it's appropriate for us to, this is another element to make sure that it's dotting the I's and crossing the T's and having the community at the table saying, okay, this is smart. We're in agreement too. And then that would be perfect.
That would be your rules. If we can bring someone who's not part of the applicant team into the panel, that's on you guys, I think.
Okay, I think it would be, community is a big deal, this has been there for a long time, and I think that the idea of even moving it to Baxburg Road is, though it's relatively close, it's still moving an asset of the community, taking it away. So I would love to see the more community at the table.
I would argue, Paul, just for the sake of it, the school district has added somewhere in the realm of 60,000 square feet of other educational and community serving buildings on that campus. So it's as much as we would love to save this park, there's a lot of community space and places that the school district still offers. We've just built a beautiful playground for the public use. We've done a lot in that area. It's not just...
It's
been soft. We can't use it.
Wait, I think I'm
in. You were speaking. I wasn't trying to start an argument, but.
I think she was speaking to someone else in her house.
Oh.
So I allowed Chris to be a panelist because you wanted to hear from the community. And so if Chris would like to speak, you're able to. if you no longer want to speak, it sounds like you'll have an opportunity at another meeting as well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. I would love to be on this panel. I knew you knew I would say that. Also, I am curious, Emil, what are you referring to? Say all the things that are part of the community at Karis School that are open to the community. I would like to know that because I know this building and I know that playground. Tell me what that is. What am I missing here?
Oh, I guess I could have misspoke. To my knowledge, in the evenings, the community can use libraries, gyms, cafeterias, open spaces inside the building for
at Karis School. At Karis School?
I don't know, Denise. Do they not allow that at Karis?
They do. You just, like any of our other facilities, yeah. You have to go through a facility use application. We have students that go in and use the gym in the evenings, other groups that go in and use, like Camille said, those other areas, the outside, the playground and those grounds. People use the walking path. Families come and use the playgrounds. So it is available if people go through those procedures. And it wouldn't be any different for the White Building. We would use the same type of processes. So,
okay. Well, I just was curious about that because I took my granddaughter over to the playground and it was locked. So it's open. Be unlocked at a certain time, or I'm not sure.
There's the playground's not locked. I'm not sure when you took her to the playground.
I took her on a Saturday and it was locked.
I don't know that it's locked. So,
okay. Well, this is all small potatoes, but I think that if we had more community use, and it wouldn't cost the district anything if the committee I worked on before could get going on this. And I just texted with somebody. I said, okay, let's get going on this right now. So we have a plan. That wouldn't cost the district. And if it was something that community would pay for, like childcare, then it could sustain the building. The money from childcare could not only pay a teacher, but it could keep the building heated in maintenance. It wouldn't have to be anything the school district would incur. So that's what I'm proposing. Are you asking me to be on? What are you guys asking me to be on? What was that discussion?
I think what was said was that the Historic Review Board would like to hear from the community members at their January meeting.
Okay, well, I put that together.
Okay. Well, it is 8:30 p.m. The Historic Review Board has voted unanimously to approve the relocation of the Karis School, otherwise known as the White Building, and to suspend the demolition aspect of the application for 60 days to consider other programs and abilities. At this time, do we have a Historic Review Board member that would like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Yay, I second that.
Yay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye, 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 aye.
All right, thank you all for participating tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye.